On this episode of the Grizz Podcast, we're going to continue talking about the incredible power of habits to move us from where we are to where we need and want to be, to help us become better men, godlier men, successful men, men of honor, and men of great spiritual impact. Without a system of good habits in place, none of that will ever occur. That's what I'm coming to understand in my own life, and that's what I want to help you better understand for your life. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw. It's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
Yo, yo, thanks for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, and I'm coming at you from ye old Grizz Cave. We got some snow this past weekend, and of course, my wife hated it. I love it. She wants to move to Florida, but I enjoy the diversity of the seasons. She wants beach. I want mountains. Anyway, school was canceled yesterday because of the snow, and the kids got a two-hour delay this morning. Thankfully, they're finally out of the house, so I can get some office work done in peace and quiet with no distractions. Hey, you know this, but dude, it was an amazing weekend for professional football. The Chiefs beat the Colts. The Rams beat my Cowboys. Frustrating. The Saints came back and beat the Eagles, thank God. The Patriots destroyed the Chargers, making a statement, a big statement. Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. It's going to be the Saints versus the Rams for the NFC Championship and the Chiefs versus the Pats for the AFC Championship. My prediction for the Super Bowl is the Rams versus the Chiefs and the Chiefs are going to pull it out. Andy Reid is going to get a Super Bowl, and I think that would be pretty cool. We shall see. Anyway, let's talk about habits. New Year's resolutions or goals are not enough to get us from where we are to where we need and want to be. We need, as Christian men, a system of good habits in place that we stick with for the long haul. There is no quick fix. There is no hack. It's all about a system of good habits done consistently over the long haul. That's what brings the breakthrough. That's what brings the victory. That's what brings the reward, the achievement. Remember, a habit is a routine or behavior that is performed regularly and in many cases automatically. Now, you may not realize it, but we all already have a system of habits in place in each of our lives. Some good and some not so good, and some just downright bad, sinful. Yeah, we know. Some good habits that I already have Some good habits that I already have in place in my life are the following. I wake up each morning and start my day with God's word. Then I pray. I've been doing that for around 2 decades. If I'm really rushed and on the go, then I don't actually open the Bible and read God's word. I will listen to some kind of a good scriptural, biblical podcast or something on my way to work and do some praying as I'm driving. Every day, I also look at my planner, my calendar, my to-do list. Every day, I check in with my accountability partner, Josh Ray. We have kind of a code through text messaging and emojis that has to do with how we're doing with personal purity, did we get in the word, and also how we're doing with diet and exercise. Been doing that for about 2 years now. Every morning and evening, I take my medication and supplements. I take a lot of supplements to help me overcome Lyme disease. Every day, I shower, brush my teeth, comb my hair, I get dressed. Isn't that amazing? Every day, I take some time to journal. I get my thoughts out of my head and on to paper. That really helps me. It's very therapeutic. It doesn't have to be long. Many times, it's not even a full page. Many times, it's not even a full paragraph. But I do it. It's a habit. Don't even got to think about it anymore. Don't got to try. It's automatic. Every week, I prepare content for the Grizz podcast or for an upcoming speaking engagement. That's just what I do. It's part of my routine. It's a habit. Every week, I'm part of some kind of a church service or a gathering of believers for the purpose of getting in the scripture, worship, prayer, checking on each other. Every week, every single day, 24/7, I keep covenant eyes monitoring all my internet devices. Every other day, I vacuum my house. That's just what I do. I'm into vacuuming. Okay, it's my one. You know, we kind of delegate chores in my house. That's my main one. I keep the floors clean. It doesn't mean that I don't help with dishes, cooking, cleaning bathrooms, other stuff. But every other day, I vacuum my house because I hate dirty floors, and we have a dog. He sheds a lot. It's crazy. Got to vacuum. Anyway, every week I pay bills that are due. My wife has some bills that she pays. I have bills that I pay on my calendar system. As I check that daily, I can see what bills are coming due because on my calendar, I mark all of those with red pens so they really stand out because I don't want to be late on my bills. I don't want, you know, interest or late fees or anything like that. Every week, I clean my truck up. I get all the trash out of it. I vacuum it. I try to go through the local car wash and get it clean. Every paycheck, I take a portion of what I make, minimum 10%, and I give it to some kind of a charitable cause to advance God's kingdom, to help others have a better life. Every week, I listen to a few podcasts that help me. Every week, I read or I listen to an audiobook. Every week, I reach out and check on my close friends, sometimes through a phone call, sometimes through text messaging. How are you doing? Hey, how's that prayer request thing going that you told me about? Every day, I check on my wife and my kids to see how they're doing, to connect with them. Most of the time at lunchtime, when I'm on lunch break, I give my wife a call at her work. Hey, how's it going? How's your day? What's going on? What's up for this evening? With my kids, if they're home, I try to go in their room and check on them or talk to them when they're in the family room or at dinner. If they're not here, I check on them through text messaging or FaceTime or something like that. I got a daughter away at college at Loyola University in Baltimore. So I text message her every single day, just checking in. It's a habit. It's a routine that I have in place. These are good habits that the Grizz already has in place in his life. I'll stop there. You get the point. These are a system of good habits that I've already put into place in my life. They're automatic now. And I'm sure you also have a system of good habits in place in your own life. You're not a complete bum, nor am I. But I think you'd agree, we can all do better. We're not where we need to be. We're not where we want to be. We need to eliminate some bad habits that are in our lives, and we need some not so good habits that are keeping us from better habits. We need to eliminate those too. Okay, let me say that again because I kind of messed that up. We need to eliminate some bad habits and some not so good habits that are keeping us from better habits. We need to eliminate some bad habits, and we also need to eliminate some not so good habits that are keeping us from better habits that are going to take us to where we need to be, where we want to be, become a better man. Men. Okay, hope that makes sense. Guys, listen, I'm glad that you came up with some New Year's resolutions or goals, but listen to me. I speak from personal experience here with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my being, with every bit of grizz in me. Listen to me. Your New Year's resolutions or goals, even if they're typed up, handwritten, even if you spray painted them on your office walls, they are not enough. They will not get you from where you are to where you need or want to be. You've got to come up with a system of good habits that are going to help you achieve those things. It's all about habits.
Drop!
So I was thinking about some of the bad and not so good habits that many Christian dudes have in place. These are habits, daily routines that many Christian dudes are doing automatically that are bad or sinful or just not so good. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're incredible time wasters. First of all, the average American spends at least 2 hours per day on social media, just browsing around, posting stuff, liking stuff, commenting on stuff. You know what I'm saying? Kind of peeping in on people. And listen, 2 hours per day, just 2 hours per day on social media, that's a total of 730 hours per year. What could you do with an extra 730 hours per year? The average American also spends 5 hours per day on TV. That's a total of 1,825 hours per year. I mean, some do it not with TV or social media. For some of you, it's video games. Some of you guys waste hours and hours on video games. And I'm not anti-social media or TV. I'm not anti-playing video games. We got the Nintendo Switch for Christmas. I play some Mario Kart with my teens. I love it. But it's not a daily habit. It's not in any way a habit that keeps me from productivity. But for me, social media can be that. It has become that at times. The other day, I looked at my screen time stats on my iPhone, and I realized that I spent over 2 hours on social media stuff, almost 3 hours on this one day. What a complete and total waste of my time. Man, I could have gone to the gym. I could have done some more reading. I could have organized my garage because my garage is a mess right now and it's driving me nuts because I like to be clean and organized. I could have taken my wife to coffee, you know, reconnected with her. I could have checked on some friends through text messaging or a phone call. I could have written a few pages for the book I'm writing. I could have played chess with my son, which is a great way. I love to connect with him. Listen, man. And then there are some downright bad habits that many Christian dudes have in place, such as, and I consider these bad habits, not just, well, they're not so good. No, these are bad habits. These are wrong, and we need to stop. Eating fast food daily, drinking sodas daily, or a pumpkin spice latte daily, or a caramel macchiato daily, or chugging sweet teas daily for all you boys down south. It's not a good habit. Those are bad habits. Smoking cigarettes daily, viewing porn daily or weekly or whatever, monthly. Sex with your girlfriend, criticizing your wife and kids. For some of you, that's a habit. You do it constantly. Your wife, your kids are sick of it. Yelling at your wife and kids. It's not some rare thing. It's habitual. Ignoring your wife and kids. Vegging out on the lazy boy instead of engaging with them. for some of you, lying is a habit. Stealing is a habit. For some of you, deflecting blame when you've done something wrong instead of owning it, it's a habit. For some of you, you have a habit of going solo. You're the lone ranger. You avoid accountability. You avoid real connection with Christian brothers about what's really going on in your heart, your marriage, your family, etc. And I'm not here to judge any of you. Many of those bad habits I've been guilty of. I'm here to help you. My point is that we all have many habits already in place in our lives. Some are good, some are not so good, and some are just downright bad or sinful. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy, who was a pastor in the city of Ephesus, Paul was a spiritual father or mentor to young Timothy. He says to him in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That phrase in those two verses, train yourself for godliness. Let me help you understand that better. That English word, train, that's here in the English Standard Version from which I just read, is the Greek word gymnazo. It's where we get our English word gymnasium. This Greek word was used to describe hard, painful, self-sacrificing, habitual physical exercise that an athlete put himself through to be a victor in an athletic contest. Paul tells Timothy to gymnazo himself for godliness. What is godliness? Because man, is that often misunderstood. Godliness is all about becoming more like Jesus Christ, our leader, becoming a better man, body, mind, and spirit. In other words, Timothy, you're not going to become a better man by just doing nothing or by rededicating your life at a church service or a men's conference or by asking God to just make you a better man. I'm just going to pray that God would make me a better man. I'm going to let go and let God make me a better man. And you're not going to become a better man, Timothy, by coming up with New Year's resolutions or goals. Those alone won't do it. Paul tells Timothy, you have to gymnazo yourself into being a better man. Godliness, body, mind, and spirit. You, Timothy, you have to do the hard, painful, self-sacrificing, habitual actions that will bring you breakthrough, victory, achievement. Whether it be, like overcoming a sinful addiction or having a better marriage, having a better relationship with your kids, losing the 40 pounds, competing in your first Tough Mudder or a Spartan race, getting out of debt, finishing the college degree, purchasing your first home, writing your first book, becoming a better speaker, reaching that coworker for Christ, whatever it is for you, you fill in the blank. Listen, having a system of good habits in place to bring those good and noble pursuits into your life, to attain them, it is biblical. Having a system of good habits in place to bring you to achieve all of those good and noble pursuits, whatever it is, overcoming the addiction, having a better marriage, losing the 40 pounds, becoming a better speaker. Listen, it is biblical. That's what he's saying here. Exercise yourself for godliness. Gymnazo, guys. Hard, painful, self-sacrificing, habitual actions over the long haul that will bring you breakthrough, victory, achievement. Are we doing this on our own, by ourselves? No. It's a partnership with God. We constantly, as Christian men, we lean and depend on God in prayer, constantly asking for his help. But we don't sit back and just wait for him to do it all for us. Like, I hate that whole let go and let God when it comes to godliness or sanctification, personal growth, development. No, man, we partner with him. Listen, reminder, salvation is a free gift of God. You can't do anything to work and earn it, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But this sanctification thing, this godliness thing, this becoming a better man thing, this whole stepping up, manning up thing, you and I, we got to do the work of establishing and maintaining a system of good habits. And that means we got to make some changes. We got to eliminate some things, separate from some things, prevent some things, and replace those old things with some new and better things. That's what I'm doing. That's what I've been doing. That's how I overcame an addiction to porn. There was eliminate, separate, prevent, replace. I talk about it a lot. Eliminate, separate, prevent, replace. That's how I overcame an addiction to sodas. I love sodas, but I can't have all the sugar. It makes me fat, okay? And it causes diabetes, which my father and older brother acquired as they got older. You know what I'm saying? And it also, sugar, when I have too much of it, it causes my Lyme symptoms with Lyme disease to flare up really bad to the point that I really can't even work. So I eliminated, I separated myself from sodas, sugary sodas, and I replaced sodas with flavored seltzer water. I'm actually having one right now. It's a polar 100% natural seltzer, calorie-free cranberry lime water. And it's good, man. Listen, it was a little hard at first, but I made it a habit. Now it's automatic. When I stop by a Wawa or a 7-Eleven and I'm craving a soda, I grab a flavored seltzer water instead. In my fridge, in my home, there are no sodas, but there are seltzer waters. That's where I just got this one. And I've got some other new habits that I'm working on for 2019, but I'll tell you about those later. As I told you guys last week, I've been reading the New York Times best-selling book, Atomic Habits by James Clear, and it's unbelievable. Hands down, one of the best books I've ever read in my entire life. I wish I could make it mandatory reading for every Christian dude. I'm not just reading this book. I am studying this book. I am constantly writing notes from this book and applying its principles to my own personal life right now. I'm also teaching you guys here on the podcast what I'm learning from it, because it helps me also. It helps me process and retain it. If you don't have this book, you need to go get this book. You need to start digging into it. Atomic Habits by James Clear. I have the hard copy, but I also got the audio version, and I listen to it when I'm by myself going to and from work, when I came home the other day. I was taking a hot Epsom salt bath because it helps me detox with my Lyme stuff. And I listened to it because I literally got to sit in hot Epsom salt water for about 30 minutes to detox from everything I'm trying to kill off in my body with all the supplements and medicines I'm taking. And I'm not just going to sit in the tub and I feel like I'm wasting 30 minutes. I take advantage of it. So I was listening to this book, Last week, I went to an infrared sauna for 45 minutes to help me more thoroughly do some detoxing, and took my iPhone right into the infrared sauna, and I began listening again to Atomic Habits by James Clear, just pumping it into my mind. Let me give you some powerful words from James Clear that come from chapter one. I've taken a lot of notes here. I'm not reading from the book. I am right now reading from just page after page after page of notes that I've taken from this book. He says in chapter one, the effects of your habits multiply as you repeat them. They seem to make little difference on any given day, and yet the impact they deliver over the months or years can be enormous. It's only when looking back 2, 5, or perhaps 10 years later that the value of good habits and the cost of bad ones become strikingly apparent. We dismiss small changes because they don't seem to matter very much in the moment. Save a little money now and you're still not a millionaire. Go to the gym 3 days in a row, you're still out of shape. Study Mandarin for an hour tonight and you still haven't learned the language. We make a few changes, but the results never seem to come quickly, and so we slide back into our previous routines. He goes on and he says, unfortunately, the slow pace of transformation, I gotta say that again, listen, because everybody wants the quick fix. Unfortunately, the slow pace of transformation, think of a butterfly with the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, the cocoon, there's no quick fix there. The slow pace of transformation makes it easy to let a bad habit slide. If you eat an unhealthy meal now, the scale doesn't move much. If you work late tonight and ignore your family, they'll forgive you. If you procrastinate and put off your project until tomorrow, there will usually be time to finish it later. A single decision is easy to dismiss, but when we repeat 1% errors day after day after day by replicating those poor decisions, duplicating tiny mistakes, and rationalizing those little excuses, our small choices compound into toxic results. It's the accumulation of many missteps, a 1% decline here and there that eventually leads to a major problem. Man, do I relate to this in my own life, but also in the lives of many men that I've seen over the years, many guys, Christian dudes that I've worked with. Listen, I've got around my waist right now at least 25 pounds that needs to go. It didn't all of a sudden get here. It was a slow pace of transformation that started way back my sophomore year of college, letting my guard down with the way that I ate, not making exercise a priority anymore like I did in high school with football and wrestling, keeping me on a steady routine. And so it seems small, you know, like, well, I'm just going to eat this fried food. Well, I'm going to have a soda. When I did that time, it didn't, like he's saying, do much to change the scale. But I fell into a habit, a routine. And then years later, it's the accumulation of many missteps, a 1% decline here and there, that eventually led to a problem around my waist. Now, I had close to 50 pounds around my waist. I've lost 25 pounds over the last couple years, but I'm still not where I want to be. I'm not as toned up as I want to be. There's still some flab. I've lost some strength over the years that I want to get back. Let me grab a sip of my Polar Seltzer Cranberry Lime water. James Clear goes on. A slight change in your daily habits can guide your life to a very different destination. Making a choice that is 1% better or 1% worse may seem insignificant in the moment, but over the span of moments that make up a lifetime, these choices determine the difference between who you are and who you could be. Success is the product of daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime transformations. That said, it doesn't matter how successful or unsuccessful you are right now. What matters is whether your habits are putting you on the path towards success. You should be far more concerned with your current trajectory than with your current results. Your outcomes are a lagging measure of your habits. You get what you repeat. This is why, guys, listen, I'm telling you, man, it's more. This is what I'm learning, and this is where I've made so many mistakes in the past. It's more than New Year's resolutions. It's more than even New Year's goals, and it's important as handwritten or typed up goals are. They are important. They're not enough, period. We have to have a system of good habits to help us become better men, body, mind, and spirit. Listen, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, relationally, emotionally, all of it. James Clear goes on in chapter one. He says, if you want to predict where you'll end up in life, all you have to do is follow the curve of tiny gains or tiny losses and see how your daily choices will compound 10 or 20 years down the line. Are you spending less than you earn each month? Are you making it to the gym each week? Are you reading books and learning something new each day? Tiny battles like these are the ones that will define your future self. Time magnifies the margin between success and failure. It will multiply whatever you feed it. I gotta read that again. This is so good. Time magnifies the margin between success and failure. It will multiply whatever you feed it. Good habits make time your ally. Bad habits make time your enemy. Habits are a double-edged sword. Bad habits can cut you down just as easily as good habits can build you up, which is why understanding the details is crucial. There's so much good stuff that I've got highlighted and underlined from this book. I'm going to give you a couple more things and then I'll stop, or my podcast episode will end up becoming the audiobook of Atomic Habits. Breakthrough moments are often the result of many previous actions, which build up the potential required to unleash a major change. This is good stuff, man. This is where, you know, people see these breakthrough moments when somebody's like, you know, wow, dude, I'll use James Clear, for instance, like, man, this book, Atomic Habits, out of nowhere. Who is this guy, James Clear? Who is he to write this best-selling, you know, New York Times best-selling book? This didn't all of a sudden happen. There was no quick fix here. This dude, man, for decades, has been learning about habits. He started blogging about habits from what, you know, what he was learning, started blogging about it. He started getting more and more people following his blog. He's writing articles for major magazines. They're picking up this stuff. And so over time, with all he's been learning and accumulating and writing, he puts it all together and he sends it off, you know, to a publisher. Hey, what do you think about this thing, Atomic Habits? Bam. Breakthrough. New York Times bestseller. Breakthrough moments are often the result of many previous actions which build up the potential required to unleash a major change. You think about some of the greatest athletes ever. Let's use professional football right now because we're about to go into the conference championships and then the Super Bowl. And you may hate this guy, but you know he's the GOAT. Tom Brady, dude. Seriously, do you think that these performances that we're seeing from him, they just happened? Do you think 5 Super Bowl rings just happened? No. Dude, there's been so much that goes into that. His habits, his routines are insane, and he keeps them. Dude, he's diligent, just this self-sacrificing effort. Constantly. Gymnasio. Working out, watching the films, going over the same plays again and again, studying the defenses that he's going to play against, recovery time, all of it, habits, 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 talking to coaches, mentors, habits, 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 his diet, his strict diet. Habits, habits, habits. They've been in place for decades. Thus, we have the GOAT, okay? You get the point. James Clear says, cancer spends 80% of its life undetectable. Then it takes over the body in months. It's been lying there. It's been doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, we notice it. The symptoms occur. But it's already been working for a long time, undetected. Bamboo, he mentions this, and I knew this about bamboo. I've heard it before in many illustrations. Bamboo can barely be seen for the first 5 years as it builds an extensive root system underground before exploding 90 feet into the air within 6 weeks. Similarly, habits often appear to make no difference until you cross a critical threshold and unlock a new level of performance. In the early stages, there is often disappointment because you aren't seeing the results you want. You don't feel like you're going anywhere. It's a hallmark of any compounding process. The most powerful outcomes are delayed. You have to persist long enough for there to be breakthrough. Mastery requires patience. The outside world only sees the most dramatic event rather than all the events that preceded that. But you know that it's the work you did long ago when it seemed that you weren't making any progress that makes the jump today possible. Change can take years before it happens all at once. The results of our efforts are often delayed. It's not until months or years later that we realize the true value of the previous work we've done, the habits. All big things come from small beginnings. The seed of every habit is a single tiny decision. But as the decision is repeated, a habit sprouts and it grows stronger. Roots entrench themselves in branches. The task of breaking a bad habit is like uprooting a powerful oak within us. And the task of building a good habit is like cultivating a delicate flower one day at a time. I'll stop there, man. James Clear, some highlights from chapter 1, Atomic Habits. Get the book. Get in it. I'm going to be talking about the content, the principles, the application that's in this book all of 2019. I'm going to get this down. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to reread this book. And then I'm going to reread it again. I'm going to get it in me because I believe in what he's saying. I have seen it. I have seen so many. When there has been failure in my life, demise. It's because I have a system of bad habits in place, period. When I've seen success, achievement, breakthrough in my life, it's been from these seemingly small, tiny habits that I've stuck with over the long haul. And I didn't think they were making any difference. It didn't feel like it. What am I doing this for? What am I getting up every morning, getting in the Word for? What am I praying for? I don't even feel like God's listening sometimes. What am I going to this accountability group for? What am I going to that Christian counselor for? What am I going to church for on Sunday mornings? What's going on? Is this doing anything? And then breakthrough, victories, addictions, overcome. You get what I'm saying? Constantly learning, growing, writing, developing messages, content. Guess what? All of a sudden, somebody calls. Hey, I want you to speak. Hey, I want you to speak at a camp. Hey, I want you to speak at a conference. Hey, I want you to speak at a big men's event. And people come and they go, man, that was a killer message, Jason. Wow, God really used you. Do you think that just happened that day? No. No way. You get the point, man. It's with anything. And there's, like I said, there's some other things that need to go down in my life this year. My fitness, my health is a big priority. Man, I've got just some things that I've got to have in place as habits. They've got to become routine. Exercise has got to be more of a routine, a 5-day-a-week routine. And I'm shooting for that. And I'm not trying to bite off more than I can handle. I'm not saying, oh, I got to go to the gym for an hour, 5 days a week. Sometimes I don't even have to go to the gym. Some days I could be taking a walk or a jog in my neighborhood. My wife purchased a Peloton bike for our house that she loves using. I can hop on that and get a workout. And listen, I've told myself 5 days a week, minimum, at least do 15 minutes. Do 15 minutes and stop, Jason. You can do that. You got time to do that. But typically, you know what happens. I get on there for 15 minutes or I go to the gym for 15 minutes. I don't want to leave after 15 minutes. Especially when I'm at the gym and I start seeing other people working out, other people putting in just that hard work, the daily grind, the self-sacrificing. I see some of these dudes in there that they got the build physically that I want to have. I was talking with one of them yesterday. I talked with two of them yesterday, actually. Very, very strong dudes. I see them in the gym all the time. I was talking with one guy about my form and my grip for deadlifts because I don't feel like I'm doing it properly. And he was helping me with that. And he also was sharing with me some information about my stance, the way I'm standing, the way I need to do things. Just talking to another guy, very strong dude, man, you could tell. I said, how often are you in here? And he said, every day, every day. And I'm not saying I want to be that guy. Like, this guy is bodybuilder type dude or power lifter type dude. Like, you notice him when he walks by, okay? I don't know if any shirts fit him properly, and it's not because he's got a big old fat gut. You know what I'm talking about, dude. But people go, wow, look at the results. Wow, it must just be so genetic with him. Genetic. Dude, talk to him about day after day when he doesn't feel like going to the gym, but he goes to the gym. Talk to him about his strict diet. Talk to him about the amount of food he consumes, good food, so that he can build that mass on his body, because it just doesn't come from lifting. You break down those muscles and you got to fuel those muscles with a ton of protein. And he does it. Gymnazo. He has trained, exercised himself, moved himself to where he needs to be the victor, to achieve, to be successful in this area physically. And man, the same applies not just physically, it applies to where we are intellectually, it applies to where we are socially, it applies to financially. I've got goals, man. I've done a good job of taking a portion of my income and giving it back to the kingdom of God, but I've not always done a good job with saving and investing. And so I'm making a habit with every time I bring in a paycheck to not just give that portion to God, but to put a portion towards savings or investing every time. I'm also trying to do better with, instead of, oh, I'm going to eat out, I'm going to stop here at Chipotle, or hey, I'm going to go to Starbucks every single day and grab a coffee instead of coming home and making a cup of coffee. Make a habit of, instead of doing that, Jason, why don't you take that $10 at Chipotle that you were going to spend, transfer it from your checking account over to your savings account. So this is something James Clear talks about in later chapters and we'll eventually get to, but I'm not just ending a bad habit of too much petty spending. I'm, in a way, rewarding myself with a better habit. Instead of spending the $10 at Chipotle, don't eat there, eat what I have at home, prep my lunch ahead of time, whatever, and take that $10 and move it over to savings and watch savings grow. I reward myself. I see this visual like, wow, look at that. I've got more in savings at the end of this month than I had last month. Wow. I'm going to end it there for this week's episode. We'll pick it up next week. Hey, thanks for listening to the Grizz Podcast, and go establish a system of good New Year's habits. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you're putting into place in your own personal life. Let me know if you get that book by James Clear, Atomic Habits, and let me know what you think about it. You can email me at jason@narrowtrail.com, jason@narrowtrail.com. And please leave a rating and review for the Grizz Podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. And also, please let a friend know about the Grizz Podcast. Help spread the word. You know what I'm saying? If you're getting something out of this, tell a friend about it so they can get something out of this. And that's what's up, man. I'm out. Got to get some more office work done. And then got to hit the gym. Good habits being established in the Grizz's life. A system of good habits.